The Holy Gospel this day comes from Matthew in the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So we're in the midst of several Sundays with readings from Matthew's gospel where Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom is so incredible, so amazing, that it cannot be fully comprehended with a single explanation. It cannot be contained in some sort of textbook definition or essay. So instead, Jesus employs several metaphors, each with varied and nuanced characteristics. Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard about a dozen or more sermons on the mustard seed. Can you relate to that? Yes? Yeah. So what caught me this time when reading this week and studying, what caught me this time is the treasure hidden in the field. A man comes along, not looking for a treasure, but stumbles upon something miraculous, something beyond compare that causes him to take some drastic actions. It brings him such joy that he barters and sells all that he has, his computer and iPhone and car and stocks and bonds and, dare I even say it, his fishing gear. Is it safe to say that here and being so close to the river? Okay. The man sells everything so that the treasure remains in his grasp. And I think in this parable, I think joy is the operant word in this parable. The NRSV says, in his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has. In the original Greek, another translation is, for the joy of it, he goes out and sells. It's the joy that compels him. Now, I know what you might be thinking. This pastor from Joy Lutheran Church, right? Of course, he's going to pick up on joy and talk about joy, right? Yeah. It's true, I'm a little more keen hearing when I hear the word joy in Scripture these days. Especially in this passage where the man is filled with overflowing joy, that it drives him to act in some sort of bizarre ways, right? He completely reorders his life, reorders his priorities, such to the extent that there's another Lutheran pastor that says this joyful treasure seems to grasp him more than the other way around. So my friends, so it is with the kingdom of God. God's reign, which is a present reality that's here among us, but is not yet complete. And I think we get glimpses of God's kingdom around us. Glimpses of the Holy Spirit at work, where God's love and grace become briefly tangible and clearly visible, even if it's just a glimpse. Here's an example. When I was in seminary in Dubuque, Iowa, I volunteered at a local rescue mission that served lunch to people who were living on the streets every day. And while it's a good thing to do, there was always a level of heaviness that came with it. They were hungry, and they didn't have food. And that's why they were there. And there was this large disparity and gap between my life experiences and their life experiences. So I found myself feeling somewhat guilty, right? And so I found myself just focusing on serving food, making sure trays were filled, and making sure that there was enough room in the cafeteria for people to sit. Now, one day there was plenty of leftovers, so much so that I was told, grab a tray, get some food, and go find a seat in the cafeteria and enjoy lunch. So I did, hesitantly, I did. And I sat down at a table, and I struck up a conversation that was just wonderful with a man across from me. And then in the middle of it, I looked up around the room. And a few guys had finished their food and grabbed some guitars, and they were in the corner playing music. At all the tables around me, there were people smiling and laughing and telling stories. There were people that were leaning back with these full stomachs, thankful for a meal. And I realized that suddenly in that moment, I felt joy. For this was a glimpse of God's kingdom, right there at the local mission. A glimpse of God's kingdom. And in that moment, the kingdom of God looked like the joy of a full stomach, of people playing music and laughing. Such overwhelming joy. The poet, Mary Oliver, she's one of my favorites. And she starts one of her poems this way. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. And she ends that poem by saying, joy is not made to be a crumb. So dear friends, beloved in Christ, here at Christ Lutheran, God's gift to you is joy. It's the joy that comes from being grasped by God's grace and love in Jesus. Love revealed most clearly on the cross. It's the joy that flows from the empty tomb where God's power reigns over death. It's with great joy that the women run from the tomb to proclaim he has risen. It's with great joy that the disciples scatter to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. God's gift to you is joy. When I was a teenager, I went over to a friend's house one day after school, and I came in the house with him, and as I was taking off my shoes, I looked up and I saw a picture of Jesus on the wall. And it wasn't your traditional picture of Jesus. You know that picture of Jesus that I think every Lutheran church in the ELCA has? You know the one with like flowing hair that Jesus has, right? And he has this stoic, serious look on his face. Remember maybe that one? It wasn't that picture. In this one, Jesus had a joyful, contagious smile. I had never imagined Jesus smiling or laughing before. I think one of the barriers between us and God's gift of joy is that we don't picture Jesus smiling enough. And here's what I mean. Sometimes we are bogged down by despair or worry so much that we wonder whether we're worthy of God's love, if it's really for us. We inherently find ourselves trying to earn God's grace, earn our way to righteousness and holiness. And sometimes when we read scripture, we're convicted by God's laws and the ways that we fall short, but then we don't hear the good news as if it's for us. As if it means something, as if it's transformative. we don't hear those words of grace and forgiveness and mercy. And sometimes we even imagine a disappointed God, frowny face Jesus, stoic Jesus. We forget that Jesus knew joy, that Jesus was well acquainted with the headwaters of joy, the source, the fountain of joy. In the original Greek, the word joy shares the same root of the word grace. It's as if to say that joy comes from the experience, the awareness of God's grace. I think that same joy that causes Jesus to smile is the same joy that comes to you and I as we receive and lay a hold of God's grace over and over again. It's God's good pleasure. God takes joy to lavish us with love and mercy and forgiveness each and every day, so that we are reshaped and made new, so that our lives are reordered like the man in the field, so that we are drawn closer and closer to God's heart. And God shares in this joy. Remember what Jesus told the grumbling Pharisees and the scribes? I tell you, there will be more joy, yes, joy, in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I believe that God calls us not to hesitate, but to lean into the love and the grace that God gives us, to eagerly anticipate and boldly receive these gifts with arms and hearts open wide. And we'll have a chance to do that in a little while when we have communion together, right? And if joy is not meant to be a crumb, as Oliver says, with whom do you share this joy? How does this joy and the glimpses of God's kingdom show up in your life and in this community? God's kingdom is a present reality now, and it's a treasure which brings joy. This is the treasure that you and I hold in trust and in stewardship for the sake of the world. That the love of Jesus is for every single person. That nothing in the world is beyond the horizon of God's love and redemption. That God has defeated the power of sin, Satan, and death. So remember, my friends, what the psalmist writes. Mourning may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And this joy is being grasped by the love of Jesus for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Amen.